Proverbs chapter number 11, we'll start and we've been spending a couple of weeks just talking about some very important issues of, you know, something that most everybody deals with in life. I remember one person says, why does your church talk about clothing? And, you know, that's pretty simple because, you know, that's something that people are associated with every day of the week. Did you ever notice that? Well, that's a pretty big subject. It's not a minute subject. Well, another subject that people are associated with almost every day of the week is money. And we sometimes take this subject for granted, and we don't think about it the way we ought to. Proverbs 11, verse number 16. No, that's not, yeah. Proverbs 11 and chapter number 11, verse number 16. Proverbs 11, 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. What we're going to talk about tonight is an important subject called saving. I've talked to different missionaries in different parts of the world, and I found out that without asking this question, I found out that many Africans, and you'd probably say the same thing about gypsies in Europe, they don't know anything about saving money. They don't know anything about saving money. Now, it is interesting that I was talking to someone who's from Texas, and they worked at a bank in Texas, and they said, you know, there's something different about Asians than Americans. He said, Asians will come into the bank with a dollar bill and put it in their savings account. You know, very few Americans will do such a thing. But, of course, if you would talk to that banker, you'd ask her, well, who has the largest bank accounts? They're going to say, well, the Asians. And the reason is because they save $1. They save a dollar. Now, the Bible tells us that a strong man retaineth riches. Now, when we talk about a strong man, it's talking about a person of character. It's talking about a person of personal discipline. The Bible says the wise man is strong. It talks about a person who has spiritual understanding about life. So this subject about saving really has a very important message for Christians. You go to places where Christianity hasn't really affected people's culture, they don't save. I remember being in Myanmar, and we were talking to whoever we were talking to, the missionaries in Myanmar, and there's a lot of street people live on the streets, and it's okay in the dry season, but in the rainy season, it's pretty bad. We're talking about money, and I said, well, okay, a lot of them have a bicycle that they take you like a taxi and different things, And I said to the missionary, I said, now what do these people do when they have a great day? And they have a lot of tourists and they make a lot of money. He says, they spend it all. Now they don't save it for maybe the next day or the next day or the next day when they don't have enough customers to really eat enough. If they have a lot of money, they make a lot of money one day, they spend it all. They don't save it, they spend it. It's amazing how you can see how saving, the lack of ability of saving is a real problem. It is a real problem. Now, we'll look at a few verses here about saving tonight. First of all, let's look at some other verses about just life itself. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. What is a slack hand? A slack hand is a hand that's not diligent. It's not a hand that's not disciplined. It means, you know, what you handle, you're not careful with it. Okay? He that deals with a slack hand. All right? It becomes poor. And the Bible says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. You know, the lazy person somehow wants to say that the people with money, they got it because of inheritance or something like that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, sometimes that is true, but that is not what the Bible says. Notice a couple other verses subject, and there's quite a few that I think are very important. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Well, what is oil? Well, that's precious substance, isn't it? And he's talking about the wise man. He retaineth riches. The foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. The substance of a diligent man is precious. Well, I wonder, what do you think about electricity? What do you think about electricity? This last trimester, we spent $10,000 on electricity. It's a lot of money. We could use that money for some of that money for a lot of other things. But you know, if electricity, leaving the lights on, well, that's no big problem. Just leave them on. Doesn't matter. Leave the air conditioning on for 3 or 4 days. One day I came up here, and most of the time the ushers catch it, but one day we didn't. I came up here, and the thermostat was set at 66. Well, it was 88 outside. Can you imagine how much electricity that was used? And how that money that was given to Wisconsin Electric could have been given to something else. Notice it says the substance of the diligent. The diligent, the opposite of the diligent is the lazy man. And it says, well, things don't matter. You know, waste it, wreck it, leave it lay. You know, no problem. We don't care. So all of this is related to a spiritual condition of the heart. Let me ask a question. In the book of Proverbs, the saved man living with God, living for God, is associated with what person in the book of Proverbs? The righteous man and the what? The wise man. The person not living for God is associated with the foolish man, the wicked man, and others. But notice what the Bible says. Wise man is strong. Wise man retaineth riches. What is it saying? This is the characteristic of a person who is righteous, who is walking with God. So these things are important, aren't they? This has to do with our relationship with God. This has to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. This has to do with the Word of God taking a part in our life. This isn't just something else, you know. Bible says, you know, this stuff penetrates a person's life. Okay? I don't know how much we're going to talk about tonight, but I have a number of things. Talk about the rules of saving. Here's some rules of saving money. The number one rule is save when you are young. That's the number one rule. Save when you are young. Why should you be able to save when you're young? Well, because you don't have an electricity bill, you don't have a gas bill, you don't have a food bill, you don't have an insurance bill, you don't have a mortgage. That's why you should save when you're young. You don't have any of those bills. Someone else is taking care of you. That's why you should save. To spend it on yourself is foolishness. To waste it is foolishness. It's going around with an empty head with this idea that life is a breeze. You know, and the rest of your life, you know, everything's going to be provided for you. And any money you get in your hands, just use it any way you want. So save when you're young. The Bible says, go to the ant. Go to the ant. Now, you know what? If a person in a typical American home, that is especially a typical American home that is not godly, the typical American home, they don't save. Kids don't save. Now, people that aren't saved that have things together, and they're functioning, now they usually save. But, you know, American home that's all for pleasure, what does it say? It says, this phrase skips my mind. He that loveth pleasure shall not be rich. He that loveth pleasure shall not be rich. Pleasure is the opposite. The seeking of pleasure is the opposite of diligence. Okay. Go to the ant. Well, you know, we had the great illustration last week. You know, you have $100,000. In fact, one time Mike Stewart had a little financial seminar for us, and he said this. And I'm not saying this is just for illustration. He said if a person at 20 years old had $20,000 and they put it in the bank and investment at 8% and didn't touch it the rest of their life, when they retired at 65, they would have over $1 million. $20,000 or it might even been 10,000. But it was at age 20. $10,000 in the bank for the rest of your life. Be a millionaire. Now, I know that's for us, it's probably not practical. I mean, I spent 8 years of my life in college and seminary. I was living in a negative world. And then when we started this church, we were another number of years in the negative column. Many years in the negative. Never had enough money. But think about the importance of saving when you're young. The rules of saving. Saving takes wisdom. The Bible says, the righteous man seeth the evil, the wise man seeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Well, the wise man sees ahead. He looks ahead. He sees ahead. He plans ahead. He acts ahead. You know, it takes discipline. It takes character. And we're kind of getting ourselves ahead of ourselves. But how? Let me ask you a question. How do you save? Do you know how you save? There's really only one way that I know of that you save. That's right. Don't spend it. You know, our state doesn't need to raise its taxes. They need to stop spending. They need to stop spending money that they don't have and they don't need to spend. Mr. Tesh, he said, now, I learned when I was a boy, he says, my dad told me, he says, it's never a problem of income. It's always a problem of spending. So what does it take to save? You know what it takes? Don't spend it. Don't spend it. You know, if you aren't hooked on pleasure, if you aren't hooked on things, if you aren't hooked on things that don't mean anything, you know, you won't have to spend it. But if you're hooked on all this stuff that doesn't mean anything, you know, go ahead, spend $200 on fireworks. Go ahead. You know, blow them up in the air. Give me a break. That's really important. I remember when I was a kid, we had those sparklers, you know. That's what we had, you know. We had a box, maybe two boxes of sparklers. That was what we had for 4th of July. That was it. And once in a while, we were stupid enough to have a firecracker. But saving takes wisdom, takes diligence. It takes self-denial. Self-denial. You know, how do you save? You save by not spending something. Not spending your money. And you know, there's always something you can spend your money on. Just go to Walmart. They got them all. They got it right in the aisles. All the things that you can spend your money on. And you didn't need it. You didn't need it, but you spent it because, you know what? Lack of self-discipline. Really, what it is, it's a spiritual problem. It's a lack of eternal values. It's a lack of eternal values. It's saying that these temporary things are the most important things in life. And something that can be blown up in 5 seconds and look pretty, well, that has very little lasting value. Now, the rules of saving, let interest and investment work on your behalf rather than against you. You know, in the parable of the talents, the Lord expected the one that had one talent to have at least to put it in the bank and got interest. He expected that, didn't he? He expected that the money that he gave, that it would have been multiplied, not decreased, right? not decreased, but multiplied. And that's what the talent was, a piece of money. He was expecting that these pieces of money would be multiplied, not decreased. Okay? Just four reasons why you should save. So you do not have to pay, do you not have to lose money by paying interest? You don't have to lose money by paying interest and therefore paying double of what something is worth. Can you imagine buying a piece of furniture and paying 8% interest on it? Furniture, new furniture, is really expensive and really overpriced. Can you imagine how much money you're losing by buying things on credit? Money can work for you instead of against you. Money in the bank can work for you. Ask Thomas, he'll tell you. He'll tell you how to do it. Okay? Why save? So you can be prepared for life and future events. The wise man is strong. The ant in the summer prepareth for the winter. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever have an emergency? Does life have emergencies? Life has all sorts of emergencies, doesn't it? Well, you know what? I realize, you know, for 8 years, 10 years of my life, I couldn't prepare for any emergencies because I didn't have a dime. But that's the normal process of life. What kind of emergencies do adults have? They have household emergencies, appliances, they have car repairs, they have house repairs. Maybe the pump goes out, maybe they need a new roof. Maybe they live in a village and they're putting a new curb and gutter and they have a special tax assessment. There's emergencies. There's future needs you have to save for. Education, transportation, housing. These are future needs that everyone has that people should save for. But you need to, this part of being wise. We need to save in order that we can give to God's work. You know, if you don't save, when there's a need for the Lord, you don't have anything to give. You don't have anything to give. And you can say, well, I don't have any money. I don't need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't even think about giving anything. I don't have any money. Well, that's a cop-out, isn't it? Why? What are the reasons that you'd save? So that you can give to the Lord. So you can give to the Lord. Why should we save? Because we are a steward of what God gives us. And actually, we should multiply that so we can do more for the Lord. Lots of things. Okay, well, let's talk about how can you save? How can you save? Well, a lot of ways you can save. You can save a mother at home. Just think of all the things that she doesn't buy. She didn't have to buy a new car. She didn't have to buy a new wardrobe. She didn't have to buy meals because she's wore out. There's a multitude of things that a mother at home doesn't have to buy. You know, how many people cook from scratch? Do you know that if you buy it in a box, somebody is making money off of you? That's why they're selling it. But you save by cooking from scratch. You save by coupons. You save by going to secondhand stores. How do you save? You save by praying before you buy. You won't like this one. How do you save? You know, most people think that when number one, most people think they have to have vacation. And number two, most people think when they go on vacation, throw away the budget. This is a time for free spending and anything that makes you happy. How do you save? Buying ahead. Boy, that's hard. Okay, ice cream's on sale. No. Better than that, pray before you go to Second Harvest, okay? Buying in quantity. Buying ahead and buying in quantity. I suppose you think that I'm kind of crazy, but you know, when we go to Amish country, one of the things that we buy, toilet paper. You know how expensive that is when you have a family of seven adults, eight adults? It's a lot better to buy it for one-third the price than to buy it full price. Buy ahead. What happened to raising your own food? What about, one of the detriments of having a new car? There's big detriments to having a new car. One of them is you have to worry about someone wrecking it. And around our house, that would be a problem. And if you have an old car, no one will run into it. But if you have a new car, someone will for sure run into it with the forks and the bobcat or something. Okay? But, you know, I don't know if I could afford a new car with three or four men under the age 25 on insurance. Because then you have to have collision. Any of your new car, you have to have collision plus liability. You know, you're not talking about you're not talking about $1,000 for insurance a year for a boy. You're probably talking $2,000 or $3,000. Some of our cars' insurance is more than the car is worth every 6 months. You know, there's how do you save? Have a budget. Have a budget. Now, you don't have to have a budget to have a budget. Okay? But you should have a budget. That budget is a way to say what is important in your spending. Your budget is to say what you will do with your money. Before the occasion comes, you're determining what you're going to do with your money. And you only have so much for certain things, and you don't have anything for some things. Now, obviously, the budget always starts with the Lord. Because money really has to do with having a right relationship with the Lord. But a budget always starts with your income, not what you want to have your income. You know, really, if you get a raise, and that'd be a miracle nowadays, if you got a raise, you shouldn't really have to spend any more money. Why should you have to spend any more money now that you got a raise? That should be the opportunity to put some money in the bank. Budget has priorities. And it has secondaries. It says these are the things that we'll spend money on. We'll spend money on the Lord. We'll spend money on our car. We'll spend money on our gas. We'll spend money on food. We'll spend on these things. These have to be done. But there's not going to be much money in there for pleasure. Not going to be much money for unnecessary things. Not going to be much money for clothes. There's only going to be so much money for food. Boy, you know, you could spend a lot of money on food, you know that? I mean, this was years. This was in dinosaur age. But I remember somebody in our church with a family of four or five, they were spending about five times as much money as our family was for food a week. Five times. A family of four or five. You know, you can spend a lot of money on food. You should have a food budget. This is all we spend. This is all we spend. You should have a budget. A budget limits. And in knowing your budget also say, okay, the Bible says we prepare for the future. So there's a fund that says emergency fund. And so when somebody comes and says, hey, I got to buy such and such, or can't we do such and such, you can legitimately say, no, we don't have any money. Why? Because you have a budget. And you've already delegated. You know, because there's checks in a checkbook, does that mean that you can keep writing them? So, you know, there's a lot of spiritual truths about saving. A lot of spiritual truths about saving. Now, young families, young Christian families, start saving now. Teach your children spiritual, Christian truth about saving. You know, I think we said this, I don't know if I said this, but, you know, basically, you know, when a child is 18, they should recognize it's a parent's responsibility to make sure they're educated to that age, and they teach them how to read, and I mean, teach them how to save and to earn money and know how to work. But you know, I don't know where we got this in America that parents are the main responsibility for sending their kids to college. I don't know where we got that from. You know, we were an unsaved home, but when I was 18, that was it. We paid for our own car. We paid for our own car insurance. We paid for our own gas. We paid for our own college. We paid everything. Until that day, we depended on our dad. But once we got out, we got to that point, hey, you should have learned by now how to take care of yourself. And all of this is kind of, again, around this philosophy of a lot of people live loose while their kids are young. And then now, when their kids are old, they start making bad decisions because of money. Bad decisions because of money. Send them to the wrong school, or don't send them to school, or a multitude of things that are based on a lack of proper value, proper understanding of what life is really all about. I remember Pastor and Mrs. Kyle. They were, he was a pastor in Wisconsin for many, many years. Remember, he came to our house and we had fellowship with him. And he said, you know, my wife and I, we determined that we were going to use our money for the Lord and not for furniture. And here they were probably about 70 years of age. And they said, you know, we're 70. And he says, I don't think we ever bought more than one piece of new furniture other than maybe a mattress. He said, we never bought a new piece of furniture. Now you think about the average American, when they get married, they have to have new furniture. They have to go to the store and buy new furniture. You know what? It's all about our value system. You know, if you go and buy new furniture, and I don't know anybody here that's done that, so we can talk about that. If you go out and buy new furniture, you know what? You can't give to the Lord. You can't give much. You can't give to missions. You can't give the building fund. You can't do all these other things. Why? Because you have all these demands on your money. And the demands were determined by foolishness, not by foresight. Now, we need to make sure that as in our families, that just because we were raised in an unsafe home and we didn't, and we wasted our money on sin, perhaps, that we don't carry that over into our Christian life. We have to make sure that we change some things. And what does the Bible says? Where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. And so money is a pretty important thing, isn't it? Money is a pretty important thing. And Christianity ought to permeate our finances. It ought to permeate our finances. The Bible tells us about tithing. It says that there might be meat in my house. And you know, Christianity that is taking hold in people's lives is going to evidence itself in a lot of different ways. And one of it will be obviously the prospering of the work of the Lord. Okay, is saving in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Practice it? Yep. You know, George Mueller, he said this: if you spend money that you don't have, God never promises to provide it. George Mueller says, if you spend money that you don't have, if you spend money foolishly, violate the principles of rule, God has no promises that He'll provide for you. He said, you have to get it out of your hide. You have to get it out of your hide. That means you have to get extra jobs. You have to have nothing to spend. You'll have to eat pancakes 7 days a week. Ever done that? If you put Mr. Griffin's apples in them, they're really good. Yeah. Okay. So what about young people? Is God telling you that your spending habits are wrong? Guess what? It's a spiritual issue. It will affect the rest of your life. It'll affect your ability to serve the Lord. It'll affect your ability to pastor a church. It will affect your ability to be a missionary. It will affect your ability to serve the Lord. It will affect your effectiveness for God. Let's pray. Father, we pray you bless the truths we looked at tonight. And may we recognize its truth from your word. And Lord, may we surrender you in these very important things of life. Rather than to miss the opportunity, but you're here tonight and your head is bowed, and maybe you're a young person, maybe you're an adult, and you say, you know what? I realize I need to change some things about my money.